Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and the book of Genesis in chapter number 22. The book of Genesis and chapter number 22. We're continuing to go through our series of the names of God, and we're learning more about God's characteristics and attributes as God has revealed himself through his precious word. Remember, that's the important part of studying God's names, is that we get to learn more about who God is. That God is not just a generic God, but he's a God who takes care of so many different things in our life, so many things to learn about him. He is so big, he is so powerful, we can trust him. And throughout the Bible, God gives us portions of scripture where he places his name in, because there's a reason why that name is used. There's a thing that God is trying to teach us about himself as he reveals that name and teaches us more about himself. We now come to a very famous common story, one that's taught in Sunday school quite often, one that even people who are not churched have heard about, and yet we should not let the familiar cloud our minds from learning from what God is trying to show us. So notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Genesis and chapter number 22. The book of Genesis and chapter number 22, and if you don't mind, let's read through this historical account. Genesis 22, and notice with me in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seest that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt sacrifice in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they went up together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told to Abraham, behold, Micah, she hath born son to his son Nahor. And it goes on and gives the reference to here. But with this, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a special name of God that we find in the book of Genesis chapter 22? The book of Genesis chapter 22, and notice with me in verse number 14, the name of God, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. And this is a name of God that means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And of course, a very special name of God, one that even people who are unchurched have heard about. And yet we want to study even more about this so we can learn about this God, the Lord that will provide. The Lord will provide, the Jehovah Jireh. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege it is to be one of your children, coming to know you as our Savior because of Jesus dying on the cross, that you provided a sacrifice in our stead, that you provided, and you didn't stop at salvation, but you love us enough to continue to provide for us because you are the God who is able to provide, who wants to provide, the God who sees, the God who loves us, the God we can trust. Help us to trust you more because of what we learn here. In your name we pray. Amen. As we approach this story, I want to remind you, first of all, it is an historical account. This isn't just a mythology. It's not just a cute story where we get to learn a fable, get to learn a principle. This is an historical account. Leading up to this, we know that God had provided Abraham a son. Abraham was 99 years old when he finally got the son of promise by the name of Isaac. Now, if you had been waiting 100 years to get a kid, don't you think this kid would be special to you? And sometimes there's a temptation for parents to make their children a higher priority and importance than God himself. Yep. And that becomes a dangerous thing, that you can actually make your children an idol to worship them more than God. And that becomes a big deal. And so with this, God wanted to test Abraham's heart. Now, remember, God knows everything. When he's testing Abraham's heart, he's testing Abraham, his own heart, to see if Abraham himself would do this. So for Abraham's own testing. And, you know, it's one thing when it doesn't seem that his priority is conflict. Oh, it's all right. But sooner or later, you're going to have to come to a choice about the thing you love the most. Do you love it more than God? And there's going to be a testing, not because of God's knowledge, but for your own knowledge. Did I pass that test? Do I love my kids more than obeying what God has given me to do? Do I obey what God said? And it becomes a prioritize. Maybe it's not the kids. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a whatever else. You know, it's so easy for us to put something a higher priority than God. And so is God evil by testing this? No, he's good, because it is good for us to see where does God truly fit in our life. Some people are faithful to church unless NASCAR's on. Some people are faithful to church unless it's Super Bowl Sunday. Some people are faithful to church unless their kids have a sporting event. Some people are faithful to church unless the Oscars are on. I don't know why you would choose that, but you know. Some people are faithful to what God's done unless, you know, they got a family reunion. And so what happens is that we prioritize something more than God. And God puts us to the test for our own sake to see, you know what? What do I love more? What has a higher priority? And then God, of course, listed this. God knew he was going to put this in Scripture. Abraham didn't. So that way we can see for ourselves. Now, again, as we explained in Sunday school, I'd rather learn from someone else's mistakes than be put on thing for my own. But in it, God is still good because he always had in mind to provide himself a lamb, to provide himself a way out. God, when he even created humans, he understood we are sinners. And when he created us, he had already, before the foundation of the world, had already determined Jesus was going to die on our behalf. Jesus dying on the cross was not plan B because we messed things up. Amen. It was always what God had in mind because he's a God that provides. We teach a principle that God is always previous. That means that before we even had a need, God already knew how he was going to solve it. Right. God is always previous. That goes along with God already providing. With it, let's study this story and let's get some things and learn more about here. One thing I want to show you to start off with is we're going to look at the different people in here. Let's start with the submissiveness of Abraham. The obedience of Abraham. The obedience of Abraham. Notice, if you don't mind, as we go on, let's learn some things about his obedience. Notice as we start at the beginning, Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after all these things, what things? That God providing Abraham his son. Finally, he got a son. I've got a son. And time has gone on. Let's go ahead and put things in perspective now. 33 years have passed. That means Isaac is now 33 and Abraham is 133 years old. So Isaac here is not a little kid. He is 33 years. He's a grown man. They have dwelt together. Abraham's enjoyed him. Abraham's 133 years old. And now, in verse 1, and it came to pass after all these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Several times throughout this passage, when he is spoken to, Abraham's very quick at saying, here I am. Here I am. He's prepared and ready to obey. There's something about obedience. If you are truly have an obedient spirit, you're ready to obey. Here am I. Not the idea that you want to go hide and if they catch you, you'll do whatever they tell you to do. But you're anticipating, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. I'm listening. Here I am. Again, as we study this, we see a man who is obedient. We see several different things about obedience here. Notice, if you don't mind, he said in verse 2, and he said, God said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now that's a big ask. Abraham? Yes, sir. I want you to take your son, go to a mountain, so I want you to travel a ways, and I want you to take your son there, and I want you to sacrifice him for me, to show how much you love me. Now, most of you, if you heard that, you might say, well, wait a second. Let me go get a second opinion. Let me go check on something. But you know what Abraham did? He obeyed immediately. Notice verse 3. And Abram rose up early in the morning. One of the things that we learn about obedience is that he did not delay. Delayed obedience allows the heart to reason its way into disobedience. That delayed obedience. He rose up early. He prepared what he needed and he set out there. He obeyed without hesitation. One of the things about when we delay is that we will end up talking ourselves into not obeying. I'll do it later, procrastinate, set it aside. Something else will jump in the way. And that when we don't obey immediately, we're setting ourselves up to disobey. Abraham, when he was told, he didn't wait a while. He didn't think upon it. He didn't meditate on it. He prepared, rose up early, and left. He obeyed immediately. Well, let's look and see more about Abraham's obedience. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 3, and Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Notice something else. His obedience was deliberate. His obedience was deliberate. Abram gathered the wood, took the fire, and he carried the knife. He grabbed everything that was needed to ensure that he could obey and follow through what God gave him to do. You know, there are some people that don't prepare to be obedient. Yeah. Sure, if that's what I need to do, I'll go. Oh, I didn't know I needed my Bible. Oh, I didn't know that I needed to bring this. Oh, and what happens, you do all that work, you get there, and oh, I don't have this. I guess I can't obey. They didn't prepare to obey. Obedience is not an accident. It's not something you accidentally do. Amen. There's a preparation to it. Yep. Let me give an example. If I'm going to be faithful to church, there's a preparation to be there. We teach people that that Sunday morning service is a Saturday night preparation. If I'm going to go to church, first of all, I made the decision, but then we gather the kids' clothing. We make sure we find the shoes. We lay out what they need. We don't have to do that panic in the morning. Where's your shoes? How come you can't find it? I can't find the shirt. Everything I have is dirty. What happens is because you didn't prepare, now you set yourself where it's easy to disobey. Well, we can't find the shoes. I guess we're not going. There's so many times in our life where we don't obey God, not because it wasn't the heart to, it's because we didn't prepare ourselves to obey. We didn't do everything that we needed, didn't gather anything, we didn't prepare, we didn't make a decision to obey. We didn't prepare our hearts. I am going to pay attention. Amen. It's if I pay attention to get something, you know, that's great, but if not, I'll just sit here and just kind of go to la la land. There's no preparation. There's no preparation to God speaking to you. We'll ask people sometimes, how's your Bible reading? Oh, it's good. Good. What's God speaking to you on? Usually I'll follow up. Do you go to your Bible reading with a pen and paper in hand? Why? Because if God's speaking to me, I want to be ready to write it down. Amen. Well, I'm going to remember it. Well, then you're better than me. You know what happens? Let's say that in a preaching service, we try to pass out Christian Life journals for people to take notes on purpose. Why? Because we're expecting God to give you something. Amen. And what happens is if you don't write it down, God can say something great to you in a service. You say, oh, that's great. That's great. And you work really hard on holding on to that thought that you can don't hear the rest of the thoughts. Yep. And then you end up losing that one thought you were holding on tightly to. And then you're like, well, what did you get out of the service? It was good. But we didn't prepare to obey. Yes, sir. We didn't set things up ready to receive, to do what we were supposed to do. There is a preparation work. So we could see that his obedience was not delayed. We could see that his obedience was deliberate. He prepared himself to obey. We know that obedience requires more than just an agreement of heart. It requires readiness. Preparation. Abraham did not want to understand everything before preparing to obey. He obeyed. Notice something else in verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go forth and worship and come again to you. Now, we know practically, if you're going to travel for a while, sure, you're going to have some servants help you haul some stuff, no problem. But then he tells them, you guys stay here. Why? He did not want anything to hinder him from obeying. Do you think if those two young men, if they were good moral people, saw him tie up his son on the altar and raise up a knife, do you think they might have an objection? So he set aside anything that would hinder him from obeying. That becomes important. Are you willing to set aside things that hinder it to obey? For example, if you're an easily distracted person, and that happens, do not try to read your Bible with Facebook on your phone right next to you. Or your computer on. Get rid of the distractions because your mind is prone to wander. You say, well, I want to listen to music. Well, if you're easily distracted, you know what can happen? You try to read your Bible and then think about the song, and then you just go, oh. Yep. Get rid of the distractions. Get rid of things that will hinder from you obeying. If you know that you need to do something, and you know that something's going to keep getting in the way, set it aside. For example, some lady may say, you know what? I want to come to church, but my mom always calls right before I'm supposed to go to church. And then I end up talking to her. And okay, well, remove that distraction. How can you do it? Can you call her earlier? Can you set it up? Say, you know what? Can we talk on Saturday night instead? Remove the hindrance. Now, I'm just giving an example, but you may apply it as you see fit. If you truly want to obey the Lord, get rid of the hindrances that you know that you could use as an excuse not to obey. Get rid of the... So as we're studying the life of Abraham in the story, we're seeing a man who's preparing to obey. That he obeyed immediately. He did not delay. His obedience was deliberate. He made sure he prepared, gathered everything. He made sure that he got rid of the hindrances to keep him from obeying. He was determined he was going to obey the Lord. Now, if there was anything where it might be quote unquote excusable, would be this instance. Do you think that it would be very easy for him to find some reason not to obey this specific thing? I mean, it'd be in his flesh anything. Oh, there was a butterfly that threw me out. I can't go. You laugh, but some of you are easily distracted like that. Oh, I can't come because, you know, the sky was too pretty. I saw a rainbow and I just stared at it and I decided not to come. People do stuff like that. But he was determined, nothing is going to stop me from obeying God. I'm going to purposely get rid of the distractions. I'm purposely going to get rid of the hindrances. I'm purposely preparing so I could succeed. I'm not going to delay so I don't let my flesh talk me out of it. I am going to trust God. I'm going to trust that God can keep his word. I could trust that God. Now, after all, you're like, God told you, Abraham, that you were going to have a child, right? And that this child was going to give you all this... descendants. But now God wants you to kill this? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. If God told me to do it, I'm going to obey. But there was a confidence. I can obey God because I know God's going to keep his word. He told me that this child of promise, not Ishmael, this child of promise was going to carry it out. So Abraham in his mind said, I could go ahead and obey God and God is going to do it some way. Whether it's going to raise his kid up, God's going to allow this to happen, but I know that God's the God of the dead. He could raise his kid up and go. God could do something. I don't know how it's going to work, but I could trust God. He gave me a promise. I'm going to obey him, trusting he's still going to carry out that promise. I can go by faith on this. But you know, Abraham's not the only one in this account. Abraham's not the only one here. Notice in verse 6, and Abram took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. So we have a second person, not only Abraham, but Isaac is an important part of this story. May I remind you as we now go to the second thing, the submissiveness of Isaac. The submissiveness of Isaac. I said at the beginning, the ages. Abraham is 133. Isaac is 33. He's not a little kid. We could see here that God did not speak directly to Isaac. God did not say, hey, Isaac, let me tell you something. Where did he get what was going to happen from? His father. My dad said this, and he is submitting himself to his dad's authority. This is going to be a big deal. Abraham told Isaac what God said. And the simple order carried the weight of biblical authority. God told dad to do this, so I'm going to obey because I trust my dad. That's a big deal for a father to earn the trust with his children that much, that they obey him immediately because he's biblical authority. They didn't have to have God give a direct order. They said, this is God spoke to dad. I trust dad. I trust him. I submit. Now remember, submission doesn't come when we agree with authority. Submission comes when we disagree with authority, but we purposely with our heart put ourselves under that authority and say yes. Do you think Isaac was jumping up and down and say, yay, dad's going to kill me?
No.
He purposely submitted under the authority. God told Abraham and my dad said, to trust God, to trust that God is going to provide, that God is going to work this out. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust my dad. That's the type of relationship fathers should develop with their children. That their children say, I know their walk with God, and I trust him. and I'm willingly to submit to that authority. Kids need to be taught to submit to that authority. Dad said it, I obey it. Even if I want to or not, that's not up to discussion. With my heart, I willfully do what I am told by biblical authority. That has to be trained. That doesn't come naturally. That has to be taught, trained, and lived by example. Notice as we see this. So in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Isaac had to carry his own wood that he was going to be sacrificed on. Notice as it goes on. It says, verse 7, and Isaac spoke to Abraham unto his father, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now that's a natural question. Dad woke me up early in the morning. We've traveled 3 days. We said he's going to make a sacrifice to God. We've left the two guys behind. We're carrying the wood. That's my job. We're carrying the fire. Now, remember, they didn't have lighters or stuff back there. They would start a fire, and they would keep embers going so that way they could start a fire easy wherever they're at. So they're carrying the fire. They're carrying the wood. They've got the knife. And Isaac, 33 years old, not dumb, ask a natural question. Aren't we missing something, Dad? We're kind of missing something to sacrifice, aren't we? Abraham said by faith, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went up, both of them together. Isaac's no fool. But he says, I trust Dad. By the way, God spoke about this in Genesis 18 back. God says, I know him and that he will raise his household correctly to follow me. That was something God said of Abraham. I know I could trust him to raise his children right to follow after me. You know, this is not just a test of Abraham. This is a test of Isaac. Will he submit to biblical authority as unto the Lord? Will he submit to this? You know, if Isaac decided he was going to walk away, there was nothing that Abraham could do about it. A 33-year-old man in his prime cannot be bullied by a 133-year-old guy. Yep. Right? That's just not physically. It's not going to happen. You know what happened? Let's look. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him upon the wood. Now, again, Isaac is not a child. How in the world did a 133-year-old guy tie up a 33-year-old man in his prime and put him on the altar? Isaac willfully submitted unto his father to do this. I trust biblical authority. And so Abraham says, I got to tie you up, son. Yes, sir. I got to lay you down on this. Yes, sir. I'm going to take this knife and I'm going to kill you. But we're going to trust that God's going to work something out. Yes, sir. Amen. You know, there's not a lot of parents who teach their kids to submit like this, to obey biblical authority. Now, we're not destroying their spirit. Isaac's spirit was not destroyed. But he was trust God and trust biblical authority enough that he willfully submitted. How's your submission? Most of us are not willing to be obedient, much less submissive. Remember, obedience is doing what God's given us to do. Submissiveness is with our heart, willfully putting our ranking ourselves, it's a military term, putting ourselves under the authority of someone willfully with our heart, even though we disagree with him. Again, Isaac's not saying, you know what, Dad, what I want today is for you to take a knife and plunge it in my heart. That sounds wonderful. There was nothing wonderful about this thing. But he says, my dad walks with God, and I could trust God to obey biblical authority and willfully submit. My dad cannot put me up here. This required cooperation, submissiveness on Isaac's part to get on the altar, to willfully stand still and let his dad do what God has given him to do. You see, it's one thing to hear the Sunday school version of this. It's another thing when we take it apart and start looking at biblical submission, biblical authority, obedience. This takes a whole different lesson. Again, God doesn't need to be tested on this. Abraham needs to be tested. And Isaac, who is going to carry out the promises God gave to Abraham, needs to also be walking in submission and obedience to God so God can put his blessing upon this family. Isaac willfully laid himself on the altar. Hold on to that thought. We'll come back to that in just a second. He trusted his father. We'll do this now. Do you know, one day God told his son, "Son, Jesus, I want you to go live with those stinky, rotten humans for a while. And then I want you to die the cruelest death history has ever recorded." And you know what Jesus said? "Not my will, but thine." You know what that meant? That was submission. Remember, submission doesn't come when we agree with authority. Submission comes when we disagree with authority. Now we know that Jesus and God didn't disagree. But remember, Jesus was still human. His flesh didn't want to die. If you knew that you're going to get beat up and tortured, would you do whatever you could to avoid that? If you knew where you were going to die, would you make sure you didn't show up to that place?
Yeah.
Jesus knew it all coming into it. And he willfully took every blow, every torture. He willfully allowed himself. Remember, Jesus was not forced on the cross. He willfully put himself on the altar to be sacrificed for us. Seeing the picture now? This is an example, a picture for all of the Hebrew people throughout history to look back and say, look, this is the picture. God provided himself a lamb. He provided himself a sacrifice that Isaac deserved to die. But God spared him and gave something else to take his place. And it was to be a picture for all of Israel until we finally got a New Testament. Every person in Israel could have trusted God's promises. God said he was going to provide himself a lamb. I don't know how he's going to do it. God promised a Messiah. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I'm going to trust that God is going to keep his word. And trusting by faith through grace, they came to know Christ as their personal Savior without even knowing all the details. They submitted and obeyed to God's authority. And Jesus was this picture of him willingly dying on the cross. He did not have to die, but he willingly laid down his life. Jesus was not overpowered, but he lived his life in submission to his Father. Now, today people try to equate submission with weakness. But you know, it takes a lot more strength to submit than to rebel. Rebellion is not freedom, it is bondage. Yep. True freedom comes when we yield to the authority God has placed in our life. The Bible makes it clear. If you will not obey visible authority, you will not obey invisible authority. Every parent who doesn't teach their children to obey them, those children will not obey God.
Amen.
We see this case with Isaac. Isaac obeyed God as he obeyed the visible authority in his life. And Jesus was that example as well. Isaac didn't understand the full picture of what was going on, but he obeyed anyways. He obeyed anyways. May I also remind you that Jesus had to learn obedience? That's the only thing he learned. Obedience isn't something you learn from books. Obedience is something you learn by experience. You willfully obey and do what biblical authority is given to you, and you learn obedience. We started with the obedience of Abraham. We explained the submissiveness of Isaac. But then we come to the provision of God. The provision of God. Notice in verse number 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand. So Isaac's laid there. He stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And notice what he said. Just wait a second. I got to finish this up. Do you think Abraham was waiting for any excuse not to do this? He didn't say, hey, what did you say? He was listening intently. What does God have for me now? Abraham, don't do it. Yes, sir. Woohoo! He was waiting for that. He was waiting for the angel to say, don't do it. He was waiting for it to say, stop. And he obeyed immediately. Why? Because he'd already been in the practice of hearing God's voice. He was already in the practice of hearing. And he didn't miss out on God's blessing and mess things up by doing it his own self because he'd already learned how to obey. This becomes a big deal. Verse number 12, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. Think Isaac's sighing a breath of relief right now? By the way, do you think Isaac's faith was increased this day? I can trust God. I can trust God to lead me. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know by experience, by test, by evidence, that thou fearest God. Remember, don't be surprised when God tests you to see how much you love something more than God. He says, now I know by experience, by trial, by evidence, put to the test, that thou fearest God, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. Remember, God's provision is that God is always previous. That ram didn't just get stuck. He'd been stuck. How did he get stuck? God sent him there, made this bush already set up. The ram was trying to rub its head or whatever it was to get the molting off. And now it's stuck. It's pulling. It's trapped. They didn't have to go hunt it down. They didn't have to go search for it. They didn't have to. God had already provided it. God was always previous. Did Abraham knew that he needed a lamb? No, he just said, I don't know what you're going to do. Maybe you're going to raise the lad up. You're going to do something. I'm trusting you're going to do something. And God had already provided himself. He was already previous. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Do you think this meant something to Isaac that day to watch that ram take his place? Do you think there was something in his mind to say, you know what? That could have been me. That's what I was headed to. Just a couple minutes ago, that's where I was at. And God removed me. Not my dad, but God removed me from that altar. And he put a substitute in my place. Think it meant something to him? Do you think Isaac woke up the next morning and forgot about this?
No.
This traveled with him the rest of his life. See what happens when you obey God? This. This helped Isaac later on for the rest of his life. God did this. This was a personal experience. Notice this. As God is testing the father, the children are learning the lesson by their father's obedience. This is a big deal. You understand, parents, what a great influence you have. If you disobey God on a regular basis, your children watch that and they learn disobedience from you. But if they see someone who walks with God, has a genuine walk with God themselves, and they see it, and they see dad being tested, it means something. God's real. I watched God work on my dad. I saw the hard times he went through. I saw the challenges. I saw that he chose God. And so I'm going to choose God. It meant something. The trial of his father ended up being a source of learning about who God was for Isaac himself. Notice as we go on, verse 14. And Abram called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Remember, we've seen before Jehovah, this means Lord, the personal name of God. Notice it is not the generic name of God. Amen. Jehovah, the God I know personally, the God I spoke to, the God I answered, the personal God who intervened. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, as it said, it is this day, and in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Then it goes on, and God reaffirms his promises to both Abraham and Isaac. I'm going to use you. Because you were obedient, because you proved you're obedient, I'm going to use you and I'm going to bless you. But I want to bring attention here, the Mount of God. Just as we're looking at the picture of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was not forced up on the cross. He willingly submitted to his Father's authority and laid his life down. As we see also that God provided himself a substitute, that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve to die because of our sins, but Jesus took our place. He was the sacrifice. It paid upon his body. We also see as this picture goes on, do you know, interesting enough, Mount Moriah becomes famous because this is going to be where the temple is built later on, where the people gather and worship God. This is the place that God has chosen for people to come and see who God is for themselves. And by the way, it's going to be the same exact spot where Jesus is going to rule the world in the millennial kingdom. This spot here keeps showing up in history over and over and over. David, when he saw the plague going upon the people, he went to this mountain and bought the land and made a sacrifice to God. It was this spot that Solomon built the temple and prepared to it. It is this spot where Jesus walked in the temple himself and preached many messages. It was this spot where people were taught the Bible and taught them how to learn to obey God. It was this spot that in the future, still important to history, Jesus is going to rule and reign forever. The things in this story is not happenstance, but God had a plan the whole time that there's a God that will provide. So it just brings up the question. We know that God can provide. Can you trust him? Now, there's a generic answer. Sure, I could trust him. Can you trust him enough to obey? Can you trust him enough to obey? I trust God to provide so much that I'm willing to tithe. I trust God enough that I'm willing to read my Bible. I trust God enough that I'm willing to obey going to church. I trust God enough to be the example to my kids that I ought to be. I can trust God. In the story, it's not just God providing a lamb, even though that is such a wonderful picture. But the two people who are involved, Abraham and Isaac, Abraham had his obedience, Isaac had his submissiveness. Amen. And because of this obedience and the submissiveness, God provided himself a lamb. I'm so thankful that there's a God who's willing to supply. Amen. As we look up and learn about these names of God, it is great to know that God is able to supply. But we have to have a proper response ourselves. Because we see God as the God who can provide, will you obey? Won't you obey? What would stop you from obeying? Are you prepared to obey? Can you remove the hindrances to obey? Can you trust and obey? Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this biblical account of what you did. That we know that Abraham's choice to obey made it so he needed a lamb. Without his obedience, there was no provision. This did matter. And both Abraham and Isaac had to obey and submit. They had to trust you that you were the God that provided, that you were the God who could do miracles. You're the God who could do things. And before you did anything, they had to obey. Help us to learn this obedience ourselves. Help us to be willing to submit our heart to the biblical authorities you place in our life. Help us to trust you that you're the God who could provide and that we could trust you. Lord, I know there are areas in our life where we struggle control. We want control and we won't let you be God. We want control and we don't want you to tell us what to do. But in order to see your provision, in order for you to see you providing, we need to trust and obey. Lord, help people to make decisions based off of how they see you. Help them to make decisions in their life that are practical, that are necessary because of the great God we serve. Help us to be that obedient, submissive people that you could do amazing things. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind to stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.